Fantasy Football Show.
These are the champions.
Cheers, mate. Oh, that's going to make for one hell of an intro. Talking of champions, I saw Chelsea, stop laughing, at Crystal Palace last night. We're going to start with that. Welcome to the UCL Fantasy Podcast anyway. Did you watch the game last night, just briefly?
I did not. I had a triple salsa class. So.
Oh, nice. Did you pull?
Kind of.
Oh, blimey.
Yeah. I went for a drink with someone after. Oh. That counts.
It's like an undercover agent. I'm going to do salsa so I can take you for a drink after this, babe. Oh, my goodness. You didn't miss a lot last night.
Well, I think I did. I just skimmed through Slack and it sounded like it was all popping off at the end.
You missed an absolutely bizarre first half performance, which I can only put it into that context. They had the most passes ever in a half of a Premier League football match, I think, without having a shot, or the longest period.
Oh my God. They didn't
have a shot till Conor Gallagher had a shot in like the first minute of added time or the first half or something. But it completed like 400 odd passes.
Jesus.
Honestly, it was some boring shit to watch. If you were a Chelsea fan, you must have been pulling your hair out. You're going, complete control, shit opposition, losing. Great goal from Lerma, by the way. And yeah, at some point, are you going to pull the trigger? I mean, I wouldn't even mind, but most of you know, I don't think much of the goalkeeper, Dean Henderson.
No,
I think he's fallible to long-distance shooting and stuff. Have a pop at some point.
Yeah.
And the first time they got him behind, he scored in the second half. Cross from Gusto, Gallagher scored. And then obviously Palmer's laid on the two goals right at the death. His decision-making right at the end. So,
really good.
Yeah, ice cold in terms of his clear decision-making. Wasn't just the assist for Gallagher and Enzo Fernandez. He'd put one on a plate for Sterling before that as well, and Sterling being Sterling went to take one too many touches.
Right.
Anyway, Crystal Palace won't be in the Champions League next year, and I suppose Chelsea won't. I suppose it was, for Palace, it was more of a gutsy display, let's say. They probably put up a better showing than I thought they would.
Aaron on Slack said he was kind of like more proud of that performance last night than the win at Sheffield United.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, Adam Wharton made his debut in midfield. Obviously, he's a tidy footballer, but because of the amount of ball Chelsea had, he didn't see that much of it. And Hodgson finally decided to give a chance to Matthijs Franca on the left, who was a little bit culpable in terms of tracking back, but at least he gave Palace some form of excitement going forward, like he could take a man on and stuff. So it just gave him a little bit of variety. So
what did he look like then? I've not seen anything of him.
Raw.
Oh, okay.
Very. Right. But at least it was something that had a little bit of unpredictability about him. So.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think Palace fans would feel worse today than they felt this time yesterday. Right. On to UCL Fantasy. As a reminder, obviously, last week we did kind of cover off our predictions for the games. I don't think it's probably anything from that that's changed. I don't want to be boring and repeat all that. I do want to clarify a couple of things that's been knocking about in the questions. Firstly, can you clarify captaincy, Clayton?
Yes. Is that because if we're wrong, then I take the full risk?
Yes.
So, we are 99.9% sure, and I say we, that you can, in fact, change your captaincy every day. So, hypothetically, tonight, Haaland blanks, and you've got Haaland, you can change it to tomorrow. If then whoever you go tomorrow blanks, you can then change it again to next week. On Tuesday, if that person then blanks, you can change it again from next Tuesday to next Wednesday. That's the way we've both interpreted the rules, and also I've since checked with someone who is a bang out of this game on Twitter.
You going to grass that person up? Or?
No, that's not grassing up. It's a compliment. His name's Kazza. I think he was in like the top 100 last year in this game.
Cheers, Kazza. Yeah, we do think you can move it on, obviously, because this splits over four nights. We do think you can move it each time. However, I think what the point is, it don't actually matter. And all I mean by that is most of you are probably going to captain Haaland tonight.
Yep.
And if Haaland don't bang, you're probably going to move it to Mbappe or Kane tomorrow.
Yep.
Rather than going, I'm going to wait for Inter versus Atletico or PSV Dortmund. Like, you would move it tomorrow night anyway, even if it was just one movement. So from that perspective, I don't think it matters.
No.
Basically.
Agree.
Cut the questions in on Slack. So Dan Cole says, what's the best strategy if you've still got two wild cards? Now, we've all got one wild card, which is now unlimited. I did ask him for clarity. I was like, if you found a loophole here, mate.
I wasn't sure if he meant limitless or something.
So one's obviously fine. Unlimited now.
Sure.
He's obviously got a wild card left. What would you think?
I think I would kind of treat this as a free hit in terms of round of 16. And then I think I'd wild card accordingly and try, because then you've got the draw where you can kind of see the potential routes for teams. So I think I personally...
You're saying what, wild card for the second legs or...?
No, sorry. I would kind of set up my team for match day one and two of the round of 16.
Yeah.
And then wild card for the quarters and semis.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I don't like about that is you get 5 free transfers moving into the quarters.
Yeah,
and true. I also think, like, unless there's shocks in the competition, he's not a huge amount of use to you.
I must say, though, with that advice that I've just given, it's more that, like, I don't really know where else I would use it because... Yeah, for me, the group stage is the best time to get rid of it.
I don't think there'll be enough variation. You could do things a little bit rogue and wildcard in leg two of this stage. So, you know, if you want to go like 4 PSV,
yeah,
for example, and steam into them, or you want to go like 4 Napoli at home to Barcelona and do some things maybe you wouldn't do and target some teams playing at home, you know, under that circumstance, probably definitely 4 PSG, for example, and then wildcard. Sure, but I also think if you go down that route, you're smashing against such a big template.
Yeah.
And you're also definitely booking it in. I would probably, unfortunately, be stuck with the idea of thinking, I need to use this for the quarters. But there's a fair chance you'll get there and you'll be like, I don't need to use this. And
yeah.
And you'll kick it back.
But is it a case of, if you do go that way, you can really steam in on like City, Madrid, Bayern in this round, which people have probably done anyway, to be fair.
If you've got, that's what I'm saying, if you've got the wild card, that's probably what's going to happen to you in the next phase anyway.
Yeah.
So where it might be useful, I think maybe between the first and the second legs of the quarterfinals, but mm-hmm. that's really dependent on the draw.
Yep.
But let's give you an example. Let's say Arsenal are drawn away to Bayern Munich and City are drawn away to Madrid.
Yeah.
You might, for example, want to avoid the two English clubs a little bit or not be so heavy and then steam into them thinking they can overturn deficits or will do well in the home games or something like that. But then if that goes wrong, then you're fucked for players in the semis. Yeah. Like, it's awkward.
Mm-hmm.
This is why, really, the advice, generally speaking, is get rid of the shit in the group stage, because it's when you'll take the biggest advantage of it.
So what if your final gun to your head advice for Dan is, what are you going for, when to use it?
I think you can only look towards thinking I'll probably need it in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, same.
And obviously if, you know, Madrid suddenly went out, City went out, for example, then suddenly it becomes very useful for you and you've got an advantage. But basically, for you to get any advantage of it at this stage, you need the good teams to go out.
Yeah,
that's it, really. And even still, you know, 5 free transfers.
Yeah, that's a lot. It's half
you know,
your team.
If you rock out and suddenly City get knocked out, right, well, the most any of us have got is 4. It's 5 free transfers to bin it, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and I think as well, let's just say hypothetically I lost 3-0 in Denmark tonight. You start thinking about it, wouldn't you? You start thinking, well, maybe I might want to cut my City defender now. You probably would want to keep your Haalands and Foden's because you think they'll smash
4
them
to 3 or something, right?
Yeah, maybe. Addy says, I have limitless left, so guess his second leg in case some of the tyres are wrapped after the first leg. The reality with limitless is what that would allow you, there's two ways of looking at it. One's Addy's way is, sure, let's say City win 3-4-0 tonight, then your likes of Haaland, De Bruyne, whatever, might not play the second leg.
Yeah.
Sure, guess what? You're not going to see the City team.
Yeah.
But let's say probably more benefit would be, let's say City draw 0-0 tonight or draw 1-1 or something and they'll still go strong
still
in the second leg.
For, yeah.
It's easier for you to force in your Haalands, De Bruyne's, perhaps force in Odegaard and Saka, for example, in the second legs. More Madrid. So it's difficult to force in too many forwards. But you might have some stuff there in the back line that's perhaps a bit more expensive. So there's two different ways of looking at it. Yes, I would. Either way, I would probably use it in the second leg of the last 16.
I would.
If I still had that.
Yeah, and I still, if I think it's basically what you said. There's enough ties in this round where I look at it and it's like you want 3-4 players from a team. Whereas, yeah, the draw in the quarters and the semis, it would just, the pool of players will narrow, right? So, yeah, I agree.
Okay, let's do drafts. Keepers. What are you going with?
I'm going with Manuel Neuer and David Raya. What about you? I thought we were doing position by position.
Why?
Okay. No, because you were like, keepers, what you got?
Clayton pulled so hard, it was like, you have a fucking problem with that, mate. I don't have a problem with that.
I'll go through my whole squad then.
No. Let's discuss. So I've gone Raya as well.
Yep.
And I've gone Yann Sommer.
Okay. How comes?
Of Inter.
Yeah.
I think it's... you also need to remember, you've got... Free transfers between the first legs and the second legs. I'll give you a spoiler. I've got no Real Madrid at the moment.
None. God damn.
And so I kind of want to look at a couple of teams who've got some stuff in the first legs. Summer's nice and cheap as well. Like, if he makes it through. The closer we've got to this, the more people are really kind of bigging up Inter.
Yeah.
As if there is to be kind of a lively threat outside of the, let's say, expected semi-finalists, then Inter might be it.
Okay.
With the way they're playing. I'm not a big fan of him, actually, as a goalkeeper, to be honest. But 4.5 for one of the better teams in the tournament, I don't mind that. I think Raya, yeah, pretty much a shoo-in for me because
same.
All the other Arsenal defenders are more expensive.
Yep.
So it's a cheap one in. I think David Raya. Neuer is what price?
He's expensive. He's 5.9. And I did this pre-Leverkusen game, but I'm sticking with it.
Well, I've also got no Bayern at the moment.
Wow. Yeah. Is that because you obviously watched the game? Did that play any part of it?
Not really. I mean, no. They played a back three at the weekend with Kim and Upamecano either side of Eric Dier. Matthias De Ligt was on the bench. He claims he's fully fit and ready to play.
Okay.
I mean, that's quite laughable that he's Tuchel's picked Dier over De Ligt. I mean, that'll get people looking at him. Plus, they don't normally play a back three, so that probably becomes a back four. I think I have heard, although it's not confirmed, that Mazraoui might be a doubt, and I think that's possibly the most interesting one. Obviously, Alphonso Davies unavailable would be clearly the most interesting one. So if you went on the left side, that's going to become a problem further down the line. They are away.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be one I'd come back to, I think. So like I could move comfortably a defender to a Bayern player when they're at home in the second leg.
Yeah,
I've left it for the minute. I think if I went one now, I'd go Upamecano.
Yeah, I agree.
So Raya, we're definitely agreement on.
Yep.
Defenders, what we got?
Danny Carvajal, Nathan Ake.
Yep.
Hakimi, Di Lorenzo and Saliba. Di Lorenzo was more like the others. I'm kind of banking on them going through. Di Lorenzo was just like, I'm not really sure how to call that tie, but he's such an offensive asset that I wanted to roll the dice. And similar with what you were saying, like you get so many transfers that you'll see as I've picked my team, there's only two or three that I'd consider like punts.
With
the kind of transfers in mind. So yeah, that's my back five.
Yeah, I'm not a million miles away. Okay. I'm not surprised because looking for a few teams last night, I'd done mine and then I looked and I was like, oh, yeah, someone has actually got literally the same 15 as me.
Really?
So it was clear that wasn't going to land a million miles away. So, yeah, I've got three of them five. Okay. Di Lorenzo's in is a bit punty at the moment.
Yep.
That's part also in terms of having an option if I need it at the end, i.e. if something alarm was to happen. But they're the same night as you. I don't need it
what
from
do you
a
mean,
captaincy.
Something alarming happened. Oh, well, captaincy. Okay, sure.
Yeah, Arsenal not playing, which wouldn't be alarming. It'd probably be a bonus.
I wasn't sure if you meant like injuries or...
It's punty. They are at home. Barca...
I think Napoli will beat them.
Barca have conceded some stupid fucking goals at the moment.
Yeah.
Drew 3-3 at home to Granada at the weekend. Yep. And we conceded 5 at home to Villarreal a couple of weeks ago as well. So that's with Di Lorenzo, there's good attacking threat. If they could knock out a 1-0 or a 2-0, there's potential haul opportunity there. It's punty. If my players return, he won't even get used by the time I get there, right?
I was going to say, is he in your starting 11 or is he a bench for you right now?
Bench last. I mean, they go last, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, wasn't sure the setup of your team.
Saliba's in.
Okay, cool.
As cheaper than Gabriel.
Yep.
Your obvious threat in terms of set pieces.
Same logic, yep.
Nathan Aki, for me, at this minute, at least for this week, in my opinion, is a fucking no-brainer.
Yeah, agree. I think he was the first player I picked. Oh, no,
he's 4.5. We think Vardiol's out.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's even more reason, right?
Yeah.
He's probably going to have to play left. I mean, look, you could play Lewis left back, or you can play Akanji from that side and move him into midfield. But I tell you what, when you hear Johnny speak on Clash of Correspondents later today, some of you will start thinking about him for FPL as well.
Really?
Yeah. Johnny thinks he's the best one.
Okay.
And if you take that thinking into this, and he's only 4.5, and, you know, expectation would be for City to go all the way, yeah, he's a shoo-in.
Yeah.
For me. They don't have an offensive, like a Cancelo now or something, right? So if you want a bit of it, he's just feel one. Like that's obvious. I've gone DeMarco as well.
Okay.
Of Inter.
Yeah. How much is he?
He's 5.3.
Sure.
Which is a bit punny. I'm not certain of that. I looked at Francesco Acerbi as well quite a bit, who scored at the weekend. It's a more boring pick, but he's also cheaper. He's 4.6 Acerbi. And I just wonder if the more we head into this stage, the more just having the security of player X minutes, etc., yeah, might be a better call.
I agree.
Plus, I don't need it because I'm going Sommer as well, right?
Yep.
But DeMarco's in at the moment, and I've gone Lucas Hernandez as the fifth from PSG rather than Hakimi.
How comes?
It's cheaper, mate.
Oh, okay.
you'll see that when it gets to the rest of my team, right? Why I think I've done that. So I think that was one where I was a bit happier to make a sacrifice. Yes, I would rather have Hakimi. No doubt about that for me. Hernandez could even end up playing centre-back. They pretty much rested the majority of the team at the weekend. PSG, like Mbappe, didn't even come on.
Oh, wow.
So he can play left-back, can play centre-back. It's a cheapish way into them. And Sociedad, I think it's probably important to have a PSG defender with the fact they are the only real one of the favourites to play at home this week, right? And Sociedad haven't scored in four.
Have they not?
No.
Wow.
There's only been one goal. This is to flip it. There's only been one goal in their last four games.
Bloody hell.
And they lost it 1-0.
They've had 3-0.
We said this last week, that they're tough to beat.
Yeah.
But they're not exactly firing going the other way either.
Sure.
And I suppose if you offered them another 0-0 tomorrow night, they'd gladly take it, right? Especially with obviously the no away goals now and stuff as well. So, yeah, that's the thinking. If I end up going a route where I want to find a bit more money, then I think Hernandez up to Hakimi. Yeah, sure.
Sure. Okay.
Midfields?
I've gone for Leroy Sané.
Yeah.
Philip Foden.
Yeah.
Zaire Emery. Have I pronounced that correctly? That's just an enabler.
I don't know. You said it first. I'll just agree.
Bukayo Saka. And in to replace Bellingham, who's injured, Brahim Diaz. Thank you, Angus, for your help in that.
So, yeah, again, similarities. So Foden's in for me.
Yep.
Obviously, look, we'll see the City and Madrid teams tonight. So, yes, if he's not in it, and the similar goes for any City player, I would take them out.
Yeah, same.
I would take them out and go with something else.
Me too.
Foden's in. Zaire Emery's in. Best enabler, basically. Yep. 5.3. Home game. Can chip in with the odd attacking return as well. Kind of 15th player, really.
Yeah,
and Saka's a definite.
Yeah.
On Brahim Diaz, he may come in for me.
Instead of
someone else.
Cheers, Jeff.
But I'm not massively keen. Ancelotti really put me off with something he said last night.
What did he say?
So, he said that he's small.
Yes. And he said, so did the woman at Salsa last night about me. But
Wow, too much, boy. Wow. Good job, it's a patron pod.
Yeah, that's what I said.
He said he was small and he said he was concerned about Leipzig on set pieces.
Ah, okay.
Now, what's interesting about that is Madrid are the only team in Europe's top five leagues that haven't conceded a goal from a set piece this season.
Right.
So the strong defending set pieces anyway, it's not like they've got a problem.
Yeah.
Now, Diaz playing instead of Bellingham is the natural. It's the natural one to go and play the position. I just wonder if he might not.
Mm.
It's also the awkwardness about it for the second leg. if Jude's back.
That's why I've left enough money in the bank. I can go straight to Jude.
But do you go from Diaz?
I would, yeah.
If you haven't got the info.
I would only do that.
Because every chance with the timeline, we'll be sitting here in 2 weeks and it'll be, or 3 weeks and it'll be Bellingham's doubtful.
Oh, yeah. If he's a doubt, then no, I wouldn't do it. I'd just keep it.
But then Diaz is possibly going to be a headache for you as well.
Yeah, but I think that's the risk I've taken with going there.
I think that the decision I've made at the moment is not against him. Like, he scored against my team in the Champions League last year for Milan. I know his capabilities. He's a very good, tidy player. It's a tough game.
Yeah.
Leipzig as well, right?
So who would play instead of him then if set pieces are a concern and stuff?
They could play like a Hossolu up front,
okay,
and drop a Rodrigo into a deeper role. That's one way of doing it. Or you just firm it up and go with an extra midfield player and play Vinicius and Rodrigo right up front. There's a few different options they've got. They've obviously got a lot of injuries at the moment as well. So we might have a few players, like you said, obviously going Carvajal.
Yep.
It's not actually clear if he's going to play centre-back or right-back.
Yeah, I think...
If I was clear that he was going to play centre-back, I mean, one that might come into my thinking tonight as a real short-term one is Vasquez, who would probably play right-back if Carvajal plays centre-back, and he's 4.5. But I know it's a problem. That's why I've not gone with any of the keepers as well, because Courtois is not far away. So it's almost like... there's a few players there. Diaz, Vasquez, and the keeper could all go for now and go, yes, cool. They're all in the team now. None of them might be in the team by the time we get the second leg.
Yeah.
And that then almost becomes your free transfers, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to be fixing that. I'd almost rather come back to it with a second leg at home. Like, Leipzig away is not a gimme.
No.
If you offer Madrid a draw now tonight, they go, yeah, cool.
Yeah, but this is what the way I've set my team up is... Brahim Diaz is the only one I've kind of gone in thinking this is just like a one match day punt,
yep.
Which is why I'm willing to kind of roll that dice. And I'm not anticipating making any moves in the second leg because I know shit will happen that will kind of force my hand. So that's why the only one I've kind of gone in knowing that I probably have to do is Diaz, which is why I'm happy to firm it.
For a similar price at the moment, my punt is going to be a player I was had up for majority of the group stages, Marcus Thuram,
yeah,
of Inter Milan. It will probably play up front.
He's similar price to Diaz, isn't he?
6.5.
Yeah.
What's Diaz? 6.5. Oh, six, same price. Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting.
So look, it might be I see the team tonight and go, I've got no Madrid coverage. Yeah. Maybe I want to do that, and I may well do that. It's more that it's the home game.
Yeah.
And going with that first, I think. OOP potential, clearly.
Yeah.
I'm more interested in that at the moment. I also realise he's not a certain starter either. He probably does, but he's not a certain starter.
Oh, is he not?
Plus, obviously, the game's not till next week.
Yeah.
So there is a case to say, yeah, sure, load up more in terms of what's now. But also, when I look at that game next week, that game's on the Tuesday, and the other game's PSV Dortmund. Yeah. Now, if I do get to next Tuesday and want a captaincy, I think that's the clincher for me. And why Thuram over Diaz?
Yeah, that makes sense.
That if it goes wrong with a captaincy, I've got an offensive player from that night next week if I deem that's where I want to go. Obviously, if he's not in the team, then I can go with DeMarco or Summer as alternatives.
Yeah.
So that's what's edged it to Ram over Diaz.
Like you said
me.
At the start, how likely are you to get to...
It's not.
Yeah.
But then but if it did happen, then suddenly there's a big differential potentially, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You should really... Most of you will have something Arsenal. But just... You should have something between those four teams playing next Tuesday night.
And this is where I've got none.
And there's a case to say that you should have something from PSV or Dortmund rather than actually Inter. I'll talk about that in a sec.
Oh, okay.
The fifth midfielder I've got at the moment is rather than Sane, I've gone with Jamal Musiala.
Oh, instead of Sane?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Again,
is that money?
Yeah. Sane, he's really frustrating. Was it you I said it to yesterday? He should be one of the best players in the world, in my opinion. Like, he's got tools where he's at it and fucking unstoppable. He's got the technique, the shooting ability. He really now, I think, should should have been putting himself to a level similar to what Bale got to in terms of comparing the two. I really think so. I think he's got all the attributes to have been that type of player. And I just don't think he's really kicked on enough. And he frustrates me. It doesn't mean you shouldn't pick him for UCL. And there's certainly a good upside of him versus Musiala. But yeah. I also think I've got a nice alternative there.
Yeah.
In Musiala. It'll chip in absolutely fine. I'm going to do my forwards first. Yeah,
who's your firepower?
Because it'll be obvious. And I'm assuming can therefore... Can I guess? Yeah, of course you can.
I think you've gone for the power three of Haaland, Kane and Mbappe.
I have, yeah. Yeah.
You have, yeah?
Yeah.
Fair play. Jesus.
I don't want to be on the wrong side of it, particularly with Mbappe, I think. And watching Bayern last night has made me think I would like the choice open of Mbappe, Kane captaincy tomorrow.
Okay.
And it might be Bayern pick a back four, and I feel like, yeah, cool, maybe I'll still go with Kane. If it's a back three again, I don't really think it's the Harry suiting as such.
Sure.
And Mbappe's the one with a home game, admittedly, to flip it, contradict it. We've already spoken about Sociedad's good defensive record. But Felton had that option there.
Is it as simple as that then? Back three, Mbappe gets it. Back four, Kane gets it. If Haaland blanks?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Not necessarily. But yeah, I would maybe at this stage maybe lean to Mbappe tomorrow night. Just a home game.
Yeah.
I think. That's why I've gone down that route, essentially, at the moment. It's almost like, what if suddenly you want Mbappe for the second leg? Broken.
Yeah. Well, that's me. I won't be able to get to him unless like Haaland gets injured or something.
I was going to guess that's the one you've gone without, because I also do believe that Harry Kane's price, you basically can't not have him.
Yeah.
So who have you gone instead?
My third is Alvarez.
That's really interesting.
Oh, why? That doesn't fill me with confidence.
No, because when I put my first draft together last week, that's what I did.
I feel like you're not keen.
We'll see the team tonight, right?
You're making me nervous.
No, it was also thinking about the game falling in between them playing Manchester United and Liverpool, the second leg.
Okay, yeah.
And if they can get it done tonight, every chance he'll get good minutes in that second leg.
Yeah.
Maybe even be captainable. And then I thought about that more, and I thought, well, if that's the case, and you feel that way, then there's a chance you're going to shove Haaland or Mbappe to him, if that's what you generally thought, rather than starting with him. That said, the flip is, again, if he's in that team tonight, all these little cuts I've made, like Hernandez to Hakimi, I can put them all in, right?
Yeah.
I can put them all in. I can then go, you know, rather than, oh, Zaire Emery's in there as, you know, kind of a name. I'll get Diaz in as well, if that's what I want to do, or Fede Valverde. So, yeah, Alvarez not out of my thinking. Actually, it was basically who I took out to put Mbappe in and then restructured.
Can I be honest? For me, it was just like, a no-brainer. He's so cheap in this game, and I think City over.
But I don't think it's a no-brainer because I don't think he'll start tonight.
Yeah, okay, that doesn't make it a no-brainer at all.
If he's in the team, I get it. His value is a super price, isn't he? What is he?
7.2. That's a joke.
Yeah, it is.
And I think that's why I'm willing to punt it. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's every chance that if he's in that team tonight, I go, yeah, why not? Because even though they're away, it's certainly one of the better fixtures.
Get rid of.
I'd take Mbappe out.
Oh, you would. Yeah,
I'd have to. I can't make a case that Kane at 10.1. Fuck, man. Can't, because that just enables so much better than Mbappe's 11.5. Couldn't make a case to take Harry Kane out.
Okay, fair play.
So it would be Mbappe that would go out. Then I've obviously booked in Kane captaincy, which is fine. Kane captaincy tomorrow night, and then I can uplift the others. I think even I would uplift probably Zaire Emery.
Yeah, he's the one in my squad I really don't like.
Hernandez would get uplifted. I would arguably even maybe take DeMarco out to punt something else and go up to sort of like they're defending badly, but even just steam into like Cancelo instead or something like that. Maybe even look at networking De Bruyne in.
Okay.
Would be another way of doing it. that would arguably mean cutting Phil Foden, which I don't really want to do, and I'm not cutting Aki, so I don't see me going down that route. But I probably will want Kevin De Bruyne at some stage of this competition, so would it be the worst thing just to stick him in? No, maybe not. But also think again, if they get that wrapped up tonight, he won't play that second leg.
Exactly, he'll be in Cottonwood.
Yeah, exactly that, because it'll definitely want him for Liverpool away and United at home. I'm fairly certain of that. So there's a few up in the air bits. The other thing is, it kind of relates back to captaincy next Tuesday with Inter playing Atletico. And really wanting to get into something between PSV and Dortmund.
Yeah, why?
Because everyone's got the same fucking team, near enough, mate.
But is that you just trying to be different for the sake of it? I feel like everyone has the same team because...
But it's not just being different for the sake of being different. If, let's say I take Thuram out and go, Diaz is starting tonight, and I go that way, what am I captaining next week if it does come to it?
Yeah, and this is where I've just swerved next Thursday because I'm banking on, even if the two flop today, tomorrow, that I've got Saka there who will be my kind of final roll of the dice. So it's a bit of a gamble, but it's one that I'm personally willing to take.
Yeah, so the one that I've been familiar with a little bit, and I looked at a bit more because he was heavily linked with Brentford last summer, was Johan Bakayoko.
Oh, yeah.
Who plays right wing. And I think his every chance will move to the Premier League in the summer. Looking at his output in terms of his actual returns, I'd be a bit underwhelmed. You know, they've won 5-1 at the weekend. He's played the old game, no attacking return. He's actually not got an attacking return for quite a period of time.
Right.
But that's real punty. The other one that's real punty is De Jong up front.
Okay.
You absolutely would be a one-game transfer, but let's say you went, actually, no, I definitely want to captain Mbappe tomorrow night. I definitely want to captain Haaland tomorrow night. De Jong instead of Kane or Mbappe for the one game. If it's from Mbappe, I don't know why you wouldn't have him in the home game and then come back to him in the away game.
Yeah.
You almost do it more with Kane. So this is where you would make a case that Kane do something different. You'd be backing against Kane not returning tomorrow
for
night.
For De Jong?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. For a captaincy that you probably won't need.
Yeah, I don't like that.
But I bet there's a really good asset in that game somewhere.
Oh, 100%, but you can't have them all, right?
The thing is as well, when you look through the ties, that feels more like one that might have a number of goals.
I also agree with that.
Ignoring it.
Yeah, this is what I'm just being a bit boring and playing it long term. Like, and you'll see with the setup of my team, it's like I'm trying to bank on teams that I think will go through. Right? I've got triple Arsenal, got two Madrid, triple Bayern, four City, two PSG, and then one Napoli. So like, it's quite clear to see, like, for me personally, even though I agree that game possibly has goals in it, I'm not going to fucking want them in the next round, possibly.
Yeah, but I also have the instinct as well that if I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about this possibly from a captaincy perspective, if I'm punting it, punt the PSV player playing at home feels more, because they've been good this year, right?
More
but
than
little
Dortmund
dips
at home.
Recently. But I think then, yeah, if you want to slide from a PSV player to a Dortmund player next week, then
I imagine they're fairly
similarly
sure
priced, do it that way, for example. There are punts you can definitely do here with Dortmund. So I think like Fulkrug up front, 7.5. Julian Brandt, 7.5 midfield. So to Marco Reus. Daniel Marlon, 7.4 up front. Jadon Sancho probably won't be involved. Yusuf Moukoko.
Has Sancho not been playing?
He's not started the last couple.
Oh, okay.
Yusuf Moukoko, 6.1. What you got to be careful with that is, it's like moving it to another forward further down the line becomes quite awkward. He did score twice at the weekend, though, Marlon. The one I quite like as an enabler, and I'm going to give this a bit more thought, as possibly even an alternative to Emery.
Okay, I'm open to it.
At the same price is an English player, Jamie Bynoe-Gittens.
Okay.
Who...
He
kind of left wingerish.
Is he Dortmund or PSV?
He started the last at Dortmund. Okay. He started the last few. I don't know if that might be impacted by a few others maybe coming back from fitness and things like, for example, Sebastian Allaire coming back from AFCON. But Allaire wouldn't... It's not till next week, is it? So Allaire will be back for the first leg. There's a real, real punty element to that, Bino Gittins. But it could be a nice punt at a similar price to Emery. He's more offensive.
Okay.
Player. He's a winger, basically, right?
Right. I don't know anything about him.
And one maybe to keep an eye on, Jamie Bino Gittins. They'd got him from City, I think.
If that's the case, then...
Same path route as Jadon Sancho.
If his role in the squad is the same as Emery's, as like literally just a cheap enabler, surely he's the one to go for then for that coverage, should you need it.
But Emery almost certainly plays. And also, what do we always say about this game? You're going to take your punts, take them at the start of the week.
True. Good point.
So, with Bino Gittins, admittedly, it's not last night. So, it's on the third night of the four. So, that you could have him in your 11. But that's also, I guess, going to be subject to how much Arsenal you have or how much Napoli or Barcelona. So, if you've only gone Saliba, Saka across the two nights, if Bino Gittins is going to be like your third player, he's actually going to sit on the bench for you originally. So, obviously, if you have a blanker, cool, he's coming on. But you might be in the awkward situation where you've had everyone return.
Yeah.
And in that case, you would just leave it. You wouldn't be good enough to think, I've got to throw him in. But yeah, look, he's a lively
nice
player.
Shout, though.
It's a punty one. Yeah. It really is punty. I couldn't even guarantee you'd play, but it's cheap. And I do think that there's every chance. I wouldn't be surprised if that tie has the most goals, and it's annoying me that we're not looking at it.
I get where you're coming from. I hear you. But yeah, I'm more trying to play it long term, this one. Because I do not want to fall into like, Dortmund have drawn bloody Real Madrid, Man City. PSV have drawn Real Madrid, Man City.
But also, we ain't winning this game.
I am.
We ain't winning it by doing the same thing as everything else. The other thing is, I would maybe like to do this if I punted someone like De Jong instead of Mbappe. Might open up the money. But I think the problem with it is things like Nathan Aki, I just can't ignore. It's going really heavy on Arsenal defence.
Yeah. Triple defence game?
Quadruple. Yeah. Taking out Saka.
Woof.
And going Raya, Saliba, Gabriel and White.
Okay.
To make that kind of a viable strategy, I don't want to say this, probably want to think that Arsenal are going to get to the final.
Yeah.
I'm obviously hoping that you get Manchester City in the fucking quarterfinal.
Yeah, no, of course. But like for the sake of the game, do you think...
I said this to you yesterday. I think if you play Bayern Munich, you'll beat them.
Yeah, now, would we keep clean sheets? I'm not sure.
I obviously got Bayern Munich in a bad light yesterday. But the way I described it to you was, I think there's every chance that you would beat them.
Yeah.
Admittedly, they've got their own injuries at the moment as well, Bayern. It is worth saying, players coming back to fitness and stuff. Whereas I said that I thought you would be very capable of beating Madrid as well, but Bellingham could beat you on his own.
Yeah.
I don't see that in Bayern. I don't think they're that great at all.
No, and the forwards, neither do I.
I think, in honesty, I think the only team in this tournament absolutely, definitely better than you at this moment is Manchester City, and part of that is they have all their squad fit as well, right? Yeah. So they've got the options to do so many things. I think if you played Bayern in a quarterfinal, I think you beat them.
Okay.
Madrid's...
To the point where you have...
Not so confident.
Four defensive assets, though, and clean sheets? Because I agree. I think over two legs, I think we could beat Bayern, but...
I can absolutely see this being two clean sheets for you.
Really? Okay, so I don't actually agree with that.
I foresee your game next week being sort of like 0-0, 1-0 to you.
Porto, yeah, agree.
And the home leg being...
Oh, sorry, I thought you said two clean sheets against Bayern as a
hypothetical. No, against Porto.
Oh, against Porto, so I agree.
You're trying to do different things.
Yeah,
I can see you going through the tie, potentially not conceding. That's my point.
Yeah, me too.
So if you've got four of them in there...
Yeah.
The other problem with it, is the fact that you go last. So I could go all these guys...
And may not have a chance to play.
They might all sit on the bench.
Yeah.
But then
you're not really bothered, right? Because your existing players have already done well.
Yeah, I get that. But then part of the strategy is not fucking works, mate.
Yeah.
So you'd almost be better off doing that with Southampton in the start. But if you did want to go down a blanket defence, I think it's Arsenal. You could make a case, be really punting, but I'm going to guess Kivior will play again. But it's next week, isn't it?
I wouldn't.
You probably ignore that, don't you, and just go with the other four.
Because like even Tommy could be back, Zinchenko could be back. It's too far away to know injury status of people.
And I think...
I'd swerve Kivior, though,
And obviously, even if you didn't swerve it, you could still have Nathan Aki as your other one. And that's what I'd want to do, I think. Just can't look beyond that price if he's playing tonight.
So what would have to fall into place for you to go to the quadruple Arsenal defense?
Something this afternoon that makes me go, fuck it, I'm going to do it. I don't think that's likely. But let's just say you did keep the two clean sheets and then you pick out the winner of Dortmund or PSV.
Yeah, then you're laughing, really. Do you know what? I don't hate it at all, actually. Yeah. It's just more if we get a City. There's not many teams I look at.
Well, that's the flip of it, isn't it? You go through, you draw City, and then you're sitting there before Arsenal defensive.
Like a lemon.
And if you've obviously, if you've gambled heavy on, say, PSG somewhere else and they go out, surprisingly, then you ain't moving necessarily your Arsenal players. This is where your wild card could come in quite handy, maybe. Yeah. So I think it's that probably to come full circle for those with a wild card. Consider doing something different like that.
Yeah,
a block Arsenal defence that if it don't work, you can get away.
Get
from.
Rid of it. Yeah, I don't hate like that at all. Actually, fair play. I like that.
But I think I'll probably end up with the team that I've gone through.
Yeah, it's a nice team.
All right. Cheers. Brilliant. That was too long.
Which game are you watching?
I would like to watch Real Madrid tonight. But I think, unfortunately, the FPL side of things is probably going to mean that I probably need to watch City.
Cool. I'll take Leipzig and Madrid.
Yes, as they're coming into a double game week.
Makes sense.
And we can discuss tomorrow what we're watching Wednesday. What's the games tomorrow? PSG, Sociedad. And
I can't watch any tomorrow. I've got me boxing.
Okay, fuck you. On that bombshell, as ever, guys, play it your way and cue music, please. Go on, sing it, Clayton.
These are the champions.
The Fantasy Football Show.